19. Matthew chapter 19 is where we'll get started. You say, why are we doing that? This is about sentences. Well, we're going to try to teach most of our material out of the Bible. Isn't that a good idea for Bible study? And I think it's a pretty good idea. Here's what we're going to cover in hopefully every week. By the way, it's good to have James Sneed here. James, wave at everyone, my friend. He's been coming to Berean for a while, and so we appreciate you being here. He's his first Sunday with us, and also Kristen Schubert's mother is here, and her niece, right? Would that be Kristen's niece? And so they've been here a number of times. I recognize the face, and I'm still, apparently I need to take pictures and label pictures and practice them, because I'm just still asking people their name. And so anyway, you pray for your pastors to be able to present a welcoming appearance, because it's easier to pray for people when you know their name too. Do you know that? It's a lot easier. So you take a picture of the whole place and say, Lord bless that guy and her and him. But that just sounds Matt Eddy is back with us. How long will we be back from Beckley?
Just this weekend.
And so our daughter will be back next weekend. They go to school together up there in Mount Hope, West Virginia. So it's good to have Matt back with us.
And then he's back.
Jimmy Flint is back from his, 3 weeks you were gone? Yeah, welcome back from your military exercise. And then Matt Ansari, it's his last Sunday with us before he goes to move west, western North Carolina, that is. I didn't know it was possible, but you can drive 6 hours and still be in the state. And that's very strange. I didn't realize that. But anyway, he's going to give that a shot later this week. Okay. So, look at Matthew chapter number 19, and we're just going to get started in our material today. We're going to handle these issues. Who wrote the book of Genesis? There are more people to introduce, and we'll get them next week and the week after. Don't want to give you overload with new names and faces. But it is good to see most of you just about every week. That makes my heart glad. Thanks to Marcus. Where are you at, Marcus? You made it back from Disney World. Where are you? Okay, welcome back. Glad your family made it back. I'm sure you drove the speed limit yesterday, making it back in time. And thanks for filling in last Sunday. Enjoyed listening to the half message that you did record. And so appreciate that. No telling what he said in the other half, but thank you. Yeah. So Matthew 19, and look at verse number 1. All right, so the question is, how can we tell from the Bible who wrote Genesis? That is a question that we want to answer. Because if you buy commentaries or even look in your study Bibles, there's probably a lot of ideas, a lot of opinions about how we know Genesis was written by Moses. And we've already taught an entire lesson on this in January. And how do we know that Moses wrote Genesis? And so I'm not going to reteach everything in that lesson. I'm going to show you some new stuff, Lord willing. So there are two answers to who wrote Genesis. We're going to look at Matthew 19, verse 1. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee, came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, followed Jesus. And he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, when Pharisees are asking about the law, folks, what are they asking about? Yeah, what is typically known shorthand as the law of Moses. Okay, they're Mosaic in their allegiance. And so when they say, is it lawful? They're not talking about, is it, because they're in a theocracy, right? The law they have is the Old Testament, particularly. They don't have a bicameral, what's that?
The Torah.
Yeah, that's right, the Torah. Okay, so they're asking about the law. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain be one flesh. All right, we're going to review something here. Some of you have been with me on Wednesday nights. You should know these answers right away. But what book of the Bible is Jesus quoting there? He's quoting from Genesis. And Jesus tells us the two people that wrote, one of them is explicit and one of them is implicit. You just heard from everyone in here that the Pharisees are asking about the law. And you know probably, that we covered in that lesson, that law, you could take out law and you could put in Moses all through the New Testament. All right, so let's see if you can help me with this. Luke 24:27. Don't go there. We covered this that week. We taught on it. And beginning at blank and all the prophets, he ministered, he taught to them the things concerning himself. Moses, right? So Moses was inserted into the first section of the Bible instead of law. Okay. What do you mean law? Okay. Let's see here. Matthew 7:12. Whatsoever things ye would that men should do unto you, do even so to them. For on these, for such is the what and the prophets. Law and the prophets. So whenever there was shorthand for the Old Testament, it was law and prophets or Moses and the prophets. All right, so here, the Pharisees ask about the law in verse 3. They're talking about the law of Moses. They could have said instead, what? Given the map we just looked at. Is it Mosaic? Is it okay with Moses that a, end of verse 3, that a man put away his wife or divorce his wife for every cause? This is not a lesson on divorce. Don't ask any questions about that, okay? All right. So they're asking about Moses, and Jesus responds with a verse from where?
Genesis.
That's right. So they would have understood, because of what Jesus quoted, that it was okay with Moses that he was quoting on Moses. He was given a lawful answer. Okay, if you understand the backdrop, that over and over again, Luke 24:47, Matthew 7:12, even let's take a look at Matthew 22. Look at the end of chapter 22 of Matthew. Look at verse number 36. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Look here. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Another example there of how law and prophets is shorthand for the Old Testament. And again, over and over again, it's not law and prophets, it's Moses and the prophets. So it was totally understood by that Jewish culture that Moses wrote the law. Here they're asking a question about the law, and Jesus responds to their legal question with a quote from Genesis, known as the law, apparently, because Jesus responds with it from the law. Now, so he responds with something from what they call the law, and he responds to it. Now, look what else he says. Look who else he says is responsible for writing Genesis. Look at verses 4 and 5. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? All right. Someone who hasn't answered yet. Let's get everyone involved. Some of you are still unwrapping your jolly ranchers. Who is it that made them male and female at the beginning? God did. Well, look who he says, said, verse 5. He that made them male and female also, verse 5, said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. So who does Jesus say is ultimately responsible for Genesis? The one who made them male and female at the beginning. God. That's right. So God is responsible for Genesis, says Jesus. So you have a choice. You really have a choice. Either Matthew is wrong about recording the words of Jesus, or Jesus is wrong about who wrote Genesis, or the person who says that they're wrong is wrong. There are only three options here. So remember, Jesus answers implicitly that it's Moses, explicitly that it's God, the Creator. Go ahead.
So by saying that, you're also saying that Jesus is the one who wrote it. The beginning that he wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it all depends on how you view Scripture. If it's just a cute book made up of morals and possibilities, then really you only have two possibilities within that framework. One is Matthew was wrong when he recorded it, or Jesus was wrong when he said it. One of the two, right? But if you believe this is God's word, then the person who doubts that Moses wrote Genesis, the person who doubts that God wrote Genesis, is wrong. Okay. Now let's look at Mark chapter 12. Look at Mark chapter number 12. Let's get a second answer as to who wrote Genesis. But look at this up on the board. I'm going to show you something from the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary.
these five books. These five books,
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy,
formed one continuous work. As in the Hebrew manuscripts, they're still connected in one unbroken roll.
So Genesis through Deuteronomy is one book in Hebrew manuscripts. So when we're asking about Genesis, you understand we're asking from the perspective of something that didn't always exist, which is called book divisions within the Torah. The Torah is called is the name that we use shorthand for the first five books of the Bible. Now, knowing that, look at Mark chapter 12, and let's take a look, please, at verse number 26. Okay, that's not fair to drop in the middle of a context. Look at verse 18. Mark 12, verse 18. Then come unto him Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. That's taken out of Deuteronomy. Okay. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. The second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. This is one of those ridiculous scenarios, like, can God do anything? Yeah, every God do it. Can he make a rock so big you can't lift it? You know, stupid stuff. Who in the world had seven brothers that couldn't get the job done? All right? Okay, so they're posing something to stump the master. All right. Look at verse 23. In the resurrection, therefore, by the way, the Greek word by resurrection is Anastasia. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus said unto them, do you not therefore err because you know not the scripture, near the power of God? There's all kinds of things we can talk about there. It'd be really fun. When they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are in, as the angels which are in heaven. Here we go. But as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses? How in the bush God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. All right. What book in our Bible would we label there as being quoted from? Richard? This Richard, then. I thought you were offering an answer. Go ahead.
Exodus.
Yes, Exodus. So the book of Bible of our Bible known as Exodus. He's quoting from Deuteronomy and Exodus and says Moses wrote both of them. But does he call them Deuteronomy and Exodus?
No.
And what does he call them in verse 26? He calls them one book, the book of Moses. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are all part of one book. What is the book called by Jesus? The book of Moses. So that should be enough, but let's look at one that's kind of implicit. Look at John chapter 1, giving you two answers. Let's look at a third one. All of them from Jesus, oddly enough. It's almost like Jesus knew that the authorship of Genesis would be attacked. Almost like he knew that. It's almost like he's the son of the omniscient God. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and answer that. We want to know who it is. All right. So John chapter number 1. And look at verse 43. Not sure who it is. Maybe it's your move. I mean, it could be a chess game, right? Or solitaire or something. I get those alarms every now and then on my iPad. It's time to make a move on the chess game. So, yeah. So, yeah. They know I don't play chess on Sundays. Sometimes. All right, verse 43, the day following. So this is a couple days after Jesus' baptism. Well, okay, that opens a can. Or just forget about that. I just said that. It's a couple days after something, all right? Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip and says, follow me. So Philip was at Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Okay, all this is kind of circumstantial until we get to verse 45. Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found in him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. All right, so by the way, you're noticing there who they said wrote the law. Yeah, Philip said Moses wrote the law. So all this, Jesus says, on these hang the law and the prophets.
Right.
We're told now who wrote the law again. Okay, so again, if you're one of those high intellectuals that wants to call into question everything you read in the Bible, you're going to have an issue with Jesus. Okay? And Philip. All right, so Philip says, we found the one that Moses in the law wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come take a look. Come see. John saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. That is not Gilly. You can always tell someone that doesn't read out loud. They usually write Gilly there. All right. It's like they stand against the willies of the devil. It's wiles. Okay. So anyway, verse 48. Nathanael. Those are the same people who think Christ is Jesus' last name. Verse 48. Nathanael says unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? From where do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered. Now remember, what was Nathanael told about Jesus by Philip, his cousin? He was the Messiah, but what else?
He was spoken about by Moses.
He was written about by Moses. All right. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? So what did Nathanael believe? He believed Philip. He believed Philip that Moses wrote about Jesus and that Jesus was the one Moses wrote about. So think about all the verses Jesus could quote now to Nathanael. He didn't have to quote any, but he did. And he could have quoted out of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Look what he quotes. He says in verse 51, or forgive me, at the end of the verse, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. Verse 51. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What book is Jesus alluding to there?
Genesis.
What story? Jacob and Greg Garcia's favorite story, Stairway to Heaven. All right? So, some questions are answered here. Number one, that was not a story about Jacob when it happened to Jacob. It was a forecast of how a person gets to where God lives. They get to where God lives by going through Jesus. He takes out the ladder that Jacob saw in Genesis 28, and he puts in himself. Jesus does. That's the first thing. The second thing is Jesus basically told Nathanael that Moses wrote Genesis. Remember? Nathanael's believing what from Philip? That this is the one Moses wrote about. And Jesus is rewarding Nathanael's faith in that statement by promising something only found in Genesis. So he promised, which would have been meaningless if Moses didn't write Genesis. Right? Okay. Well, if that was too much, thank God we're recording it. Now, let's talk about the date of writing. Why are we doing this? Because I want you to fix this on a timeline for yourself. Let's talk about when this was written. Okay? So we are in our second of five things we want to cover. When was this written? This is my very not straight line representing time. Okay? We're going to put some things over here, 2000 BC. And we're going to make this really simple. This is not exactly right, but it's good enough. It's like government work. Okay? All right. Abraham. We can find him at 2000 BC. Okay? And we're going to put Jesus over here at what? Okay, don't say zero. There is no year zero. Okay? So there is 1 year before Christ and the first year of our Lord. So there's 1 BC and 1 AD, but there's no... no zero. Okay? So the cross, Jesus didn't die when he was a toddler, so how many years? Yeah, so 30 to 33 AD, just to make sure no one has a tummy ache over me not saying 33 AD, we're going to put it there. Okay? Halfway in between, we're going to put 1000 BC, and at 1000 BC-ish, we're going to put Solomon. Okay? Now, it's good enough. Okay. Is it accurate? Is it exact? No. But let's talk about some things we've already fixed. Right here, 1500 BC, we're going to put this 1446. Why are we putting it 1446 BC? We've already taught these lessons, and I will put a video on the Facebook page reminding us of how we know, for example, that it was 480 years from the building of Solomon's temple at 966 BC
480 years, we're told in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1.
It tells us 480 years. It says
480 years. You don't, if you believe the Bible,
you believe that there are 480 years between 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, and the Exodus, because it says so. And I'm not totally convinced of my own writing. Hang on a second. It's really bad too, because it's 1 Kings 6:1. 6:1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, blah blah blah.
The temple of the Lord was commenced in this year. This is the beginning of the building of the temple. And we're told 480 years prior to that is the Exodus. So we're putting that up here. Exodus. That is when
3 million Jews come out of the land of Egypt. If you're wondering how that's possible, we covered that already. Just tell me you want to see the information. It's possible that you can go from 70 to over 3 million in just over 230 years.
Probable.
What's that?
Probable.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. It's not only possible, it's probable if everyone is having children at a moderate rate. Right. So let's talk about some dates. Look at Exodus chapter 6 with me. Exodus 6. Let's talk about, the question is, when was Genesis written? We have an author, if you believe Jesus, and I do. We have an author, if you believe Philip, and I do. We have an author, if you believe Matthew, Mark, and John, and I do. We have an author. So the question is, when did Moses write it? So look at Exodus chapter number 6. This is unusual because we're trying to get all of our proof from Scripture. They're going to keep uncovering pottery and they're going to keep adjusting their timelines. We're not going to go to the high muckety-mucks in intelligentsia. They're always changing. This hasn't changed in quite a while. Okay? So look at Exodus 6:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." So, this is pre-Exodus or post-Exodus?
Pre.
Okay, before the Exodus.
So we're somewhere in here.
Okay, pre-Exodus. You'll see what I'll do to Pharaoh. Verse 2, God spoke to Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." Look, that's just as plain as the nose on this face. You've got to make sure you see this. They knew him as Elyon, Elohim. They knew him as Elroy. I mean, seven names. In fact, I have them listed here. Let me just think. Jireh. They knew him as... there we go. El Elyon, El Shaddai, El Olam. Okay, so they knew him as all those names. But we're told right here that they did not know him as Jehovah. However, it's interesting to note, please, that Jehovah is used all through Genesis. Let's say this again. Everyone can get this. See, I'm new to Bible study. Okay, we've already shown you that Moses wrote Genesis, so hang with me, and you'll walk out of this room at least somewhat confident that you can talk about what we're talking about. Moses did not know the name Jehovah until this moment. God introduces himself to Moses as Jehovah in this moment. Now, Jehovah is the Hebrew word. It's behind Lord in all those places. It's translated Lord in all caps. That's the distinction. When it's not all caps, it's usually one of the names we've already given. All caps is Jehovah. Okay? And we're not going to have a discussion here about Yahweh versus Jehovah. You can that, okay? All right. So, he's using Jehovah all through Genesis. Right?
Right.
So, since Moses did not know the name Jehovah until this moment, and Moses wrote Genesis, what can we come away with in that regard? Genesis was written after this moment. That's easy, right? We can all grasp that. Are there counter arguments? Sure. But I like my presuppositions better than the others. Okay? All right? So, yeah, that's rather mine. So, the question is then, well, how long are we before they actually leave? Well, we go right into the 10 plagues, and I guess you really have to decide how long the 10 plagues took. So if you think that they took no more than a year like I do, then you know that Genesis was not written prior to 1447 B.C. Okay, Genesis was not written before 1447. Okay, that's simple, right? Kind of? Okay. Alrighty. Well, that was easy. Let's close it. No. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 11. So we've talked about... No. Numbers 32. We're answering the question, when did Moses write Genesis? Numbers 32. And we're going to be looking at verse number 8.
So we know it was not written before, or we're going to suppose, based on the assumption that the plagues took no more than 1 year to transpire, we're going to go with the assumption that Genesis could not have been written before 1447 B.C.
Okay. Based on Exodus 6, when God introduced himself to Moses as Jehovah. It's a simple clue. I mean, it's... All right, so look at verse 8, Numbers 32. I'll look at verse 7. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them. So what episode probably just took place?
Joshua,
Caleb, the other 10 spies go over and check out Canaan, come back, evil report, children of Israel decide not to go. Verse 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. All right. Then you might notice in verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. All right, I need an answer here real quick. How many years was the total wandering of the children of Israel?
40.
And how long did they wander after this Kadesh Barnea incident? It says, we just read the verse.
40.
What does that tell you about the Kadesh Barnea incident?
Right after
the Exodus. Let's take a look and hold your place here, because we're going to come right back. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Hold your place here and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And we're going to be looking at verse number 1. You guys are really good to me. I really appreciate it. You're so content, and you're putting up with my silly comments, and I really thank you, because I feel like you're soaking this in. Look at verse 1. These be the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hezeroth and Dizahab. Remember, the secret to those long words is to roll through them before anyone is smart enough to correct you. All right, verse 2. There, look here. There are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Where were they camped when they came back from Canaan with the evil report? Numbers 32 told us. Kadesh Barnea. What is Mount Horeb? What is that another name for?
Mount Sinai.
How long of a journey was it from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea? 11 lousy days. 11 days. So you know that the issue in this book, the journey, Numbers 32, took place no later than 1445 B.C. We're going to give them a whole year to get to Mount Sinai. They didn't need a whole year. Just read the... It's really easy. They didn't need a whole year. Just read the account of Exodus. And you'll find out it was a matter of a couple of months. But we're going to give them a whole year. So we're given 3 years. We're given three whole years. If I put them in today's terms, we're going to give them from January 1st of 1447 to December 31st of 1445 to get Jehovah's name all the way to Kadesh Barnea. Because even though it was 11 days journey, they spent 40 days spying out the land. right? Okay. Let's go back to Numbers 32. This is so hard. No, it's not. It'll be okay. Notice what he says they were aware of and turned their back on in verse number 11. Numbers 32, verse 11. Let's break up the monotony a little bit. Walter, will you read it? Are you there?
Yeah.
All right, who else is there? All right, go ahead, Brian.
Surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, and Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me.
All right, question. Question. Was it a disappointment to those men that they were not able to take the land? Sure. They can't have the land. We're going to die before we see the land. Why would it have meant so much to them? Verse 11. It was promised to who?
Abraham.
And where do we find those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
In Genesis.
In Genesis. So it is possible, I will grant you, it is possible that it was all still oral tradition. But that's not the supposition I'm going to choose. I'm going to believe that by the time he preaches this sermon unto them, they have a written record of the promise of Canaan's land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why I'm willing to say that since this sermon took place no later than 1445 BC, I'm going to choose to believe that there was a written record of Genesis promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by this time. So the answer to my second question is, Moses wrote Genesis approximately 1445 BC. Now, when would he have had time to do that? Let's talk about the chronology of the time coming out of Egypt. We already know that the sermon took place at the end of 40 days of spying, right? They had an 11-day journey from Mount Horeb. Y'all with me so far? How many times did Moses go on Mount Sinai? A lot of times, but give me some days. How many days?
40 days.
Went on 40 days and 40 nights twice. To get, that's right. So if you're spending 80 days on a mountain being told to record everything God tells you, I believe that that's quite possibly when Genesis was written. 1445 BC, 1446 BC, by Moses, quite possibly on Mount Sinai. I guess what's more important to me than you being able to recite it back to me is that you see that these answers can be found in the book.
That's right.
That is the most important lesson I want you leaving. Not, oh, he's a smart guy. No. Man, I got it all written down. No. Oh, at least I can listen to this later, and I'm glad you can. That's not my point. My point is you do not have to be bullied by the nerds.
Right.
You can know the answers from the book. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, looking at Deuteronomy and how long it took to write Deuteronomy, from outside sources, the estimates for a two-month time period, and then trying to backtrack it of how long it took to write it, and falls right in line with 2 periods of 40 days,
yeah.
Which is approximately
right.
2 months.
That's right. And so... Oh, there's all kinds of cool things we can talk about.
And it's also logical, since Moses could not have witnessed the events that he wrote from Genesis. He had to get those events either from oral traditions, but some of the detail that is in the book of Genesis could only have come from God.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And what better time is when Moses was meeting with God on Mount Sinai?
Yeah. And written from a perspective of during travels, during name changes. I can't remember the
term. While you're thinking about it.
Current day use of a name for something.
Proleptic speaking, yes. So, yeah, when we're calling something what it is from the writer's perspective and not from the experience.
Right.
The person in the experience knows it by a different name.
Right.
For example, the naming of God in the book of Genesis. Very, very, very good point. Look at chapter 33 of Numbers. Let's take a look here and see if we get any more details. We're going to be looking at verse 15. They departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. Numbers 33, verse 15. They pitched in the wilderness of Sinai, verse 16. They removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched in Kibroth Hattaavah. And they parted from Kibroth Hattaavah and camped in Hazeroth. And they parted from Hazeroth and pitched in Rithmah. And very few of those cities are mentioned as they occur. This is a record of where they were geographically. You can plot these on a map and get an even more exact location of writing if you want to. Somewhere between Sinai and where? Chapter 32, Kadesh Barnea, which only took 11 days to travel. So you can even narrow down within that 11 days to one of those cities if you want to. Okay. So you have an author, you have a probable time, you have probable places of authorship. And now you understand, referencing last week's lesson, why Moses said that Joseph, at the end of Genesis, that occurred around 1600 BC, that they were on the other side of Jordan. Because if Moses is eastward of Jordan, and he says that Joseph was on the other side of Jordan, he's talking about a location in Canaan. Because from his perspective, the other side of Jordan is west of Jordan, not east of Jordan. Okay. So, wow, it's 10:28. What are some of the main themes? Well, we really have one. The total depravity of man. Paradise is lost in Genesis 3, and we know it was lost when you have the first murder in chapter 4, the flood in chapter 6, the probable raping of Noah in chapter 9. It's interesting to note that you have sex sins right next to murder sins right away in the book of Genesis. Abraham and Pharaoh, he lies about his wife. Abraham and Hagar, he sleeps with someone who's not his wife. Abraham and Abimelech, he lies about his wife. Jacob and Esau, he lies about everything. Isaac and Abimelech lies about his wife. Rebekah and Jacob, she lies about her son to her husband. Laban and Jacob, he lies about his wages to Jacob. Joseph and his brothers, they lie about him to his dad, Jacob. Lots and lots and lots of horrible stories that you would never record if you were trying to fool anyone. You would make your heroes heroic. And since Joseph is the last character and he dies at 110 years old and we put him at about 150 years, his death, about 150 years before Moses, we're talking about 1645 BC is when Genesis events end, which means that since we've already done the chronology and we know that about 3900 BC is when creation occurred, and the book of Genesis closes around 1600 BC, we see that Genesis covers a lot of human history, about 2300 years of human history. And considering we're not at the year, I guess we're just at over a third of human history is covered in Genesis. And since one third of human history is not recorded in the Bible, you have half of biblical human history recorded in the book of Genesis. Over half. And then to make it even more alarming, since the Tower of Babel, since Moses is called out of the Ur of Chaldees in 2000 BC, then you have one third of human history recorded in just the first 11 chapters of the Bible. One third of human history. Closer to 50% of biblical human history is in just the first 11 chapters of the Bible. So there's a lot that we don't know. But we do know what we need to know, if we'll read it. Main characters, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and Shem, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and Judah, all kinds of main characters. And there you have it. Genesis overview. Poultry. Genesis overview in 35 minutes. So next week, we'll talk about Exodus. Now, the good thing is that we won't have to do too much about who wrote it, because we looked at those verses this morning, right? Yes, so, anyways, let's have a word of prayer. If you have questions, please email me. If you don't know my email, here it is. And if you want my notes, most of which I did not share with you, you can email me. I'll send you my slides. And if you're pretty sure you can't read that, come up here and get a card and or text me or whatever. All right. Well, that was easy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you for what we can know out of the book of Genesis. How awesome is it that almost 100 of us every week find time to get around each other, enjoy each other's company, and enjoy the Word of God? As we plan things like our get-together around Christmas and our fifth Sunday fellowship and more in this series, I pray you'd help us to actually develop love for one another, and that we would enjoy being around one another. And we will thank you for your great name's sake. Amen. 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 Thank you.